Be'ez Hashem Yisboch, we begin Perek Shmini, the 8th chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Korban Pesach, and the laws of the Pesach sacrifice, and the Sefer Korbanos, and the laws of individual Korbanos, which in this Perek we discuss regarding the eating of the Korban Pesach, as Rambam gets Halacha Alf regarding the three components of Pesach, Matzah, Mor. Achilas Pesach HaPesach, the eating of the meat of the Korban Pesach, Belil Chamisha Asa, in the night of the 15th of Nisan, Mitzvah Saseh Zapazik HaMamet. Shemak says in Pasuk and Shmois, they're going to eat the meat on this night. Tzli eish, roasted on the fire. Matzahs al merayim yirchlu, they should be eaten with matzah on mor. Halacha based. Now, ve'im matzah mor ma'akfen. However, these two other components of the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs, they're not ma'akiv. They don't withhold the validity. And that is m'loy motzu, matzah mor. If you don't find matzah mor, yoytim dechavosan, b'achilis b'sar pesach labadi, they will fulfill their obligation with just eating the meat of the korban pesach itself. But to eat the bitter herbs without the korban pesach in the mitzvah, that's not the biblical mitzvah, but it is rabbinic. Shemek says a pasuk in Bamidbar, al matzahs or merayim yechluhu, on unleavened bread and bitter herbs, you should eat it. So the mitzvah is eating the korban pesach with that, but there's no mitzvah of that without the korban pesach. Halacha Gimel qualifies the prohibition of eating the korban pesach if it's not as exactly the Torah says it should be prepared. So mitzvah in the muvcher, the choicest mitzvah is lechol b'sar ha-pesach, to eat the meat of the pesach, chachilas seiva, to eat it when one is satiated. Lefikach, therefore, im hikav shalme chagiga barba asa, if they also sacrifice the chagiga, which is a shlamim on the 14th of Nisan, oichol mem tchila, you first eat from the chagiga, from the yomtiv carbon, v'achach oichol b'sar ha-pesach, and then you eat from the meat of the carbon pesach, kedilis baya mimenu, so that when you're filling yourself up, you're satiated, that should be with the carbon pesach meat. But after the fact, if the person only ate an olive-sized piece of the korban pesach, it's only ate all night, he fulfilled his obligation of eating because the shear of achilas is a gezais. And so to the eating of the meat of the second korban pesach, which is b'leil chamish asal chodesh ir, in the night of the 15th of ir, mitzvah saseh, that if someone wasn't able to bring the first one, they bring the second one, that's also pasuk mamashim, but like it says over there, on matzahs and merem yichlu, on matzahs and merem you should eat it, also by the Pesach Sheni. Now look at Dal. Ushneim in mecholim elitzliyesh. Now both these carbon Pesachs could only be eaten if it's roasted on the fire. But for oichel mehem kizayis no, if someone eats an olive-sized piece of the carbon Pesach that's partially roasted, a mefushal or if it's cooked, not roasted, the leil psachim on the Seder night, on the night of the Pesach, by these two korban pesachs, like he's going to get lashes. Namak says the pasuk in Shemais, "Al toichlu mimenu no vashal mabush b'mayim." Don't eat from it partially roasted or cooked in water. Achol nam mabushal ka'achas. Let's say he does both of them at the same time. He's eating it partially roasted and from that which was cooked. Inu like a la'achas, only going to get one set of lashes. Lafishashneim nechlom b'lavechad, because both of them are included in the same negative prohibition. It's either or, but when you do both, it's not two. It's only in this one iser of how you're doing the wrong way and not roasted by the fire. Let's say eat from the Karm Pesach, partially roasted or cooked when it was still daytime on the 14th of Nisan, in it like it doesn't get lashes. Krishna Nema, the Pasuk says over there, Ki'im Sli'esh, only rather it should be roasted by the fire, which is saying don't eat it partially roasted or cooked, only if it's roasted on the fire, which teaches us the contrast is B'shoshim Mitzel Ochle Itzoli. When it's a moment that's a mitzvah to eat it roasted, which is only by the Seder night, by the night of the 15th, that would be the time the chayv al achilas namavusha, that you'd be liable for eating it partially roasted or cooked. But if one ate it when it was still during the daytime, one would be exempt. Someone ate from it an olive size of the right way that it was roasted, but it was during the daytime, not yet at the night of the 15th. Oh, mitzvah saseh, he's violated the pasuk commandment. Krishna, the pasuk says over there, "Ba'ochel sabasa b'layla zeh." You can eat the meat this night, which is b'layla b'le'bayim, at nighttime, not during the daytime. V'alava bo machal zeh, and the negative prohibition, which is derived through a positive wording, saying what you should do, which the inference is what you shouldn't do, which to eat it when it's still during the daytime, I say who is qualified as a violation of a positive commandment. Halach vav. Now, qualifying na says here love Torah. This the Torah warns us that one should not eat the korban pesach it was prepared as na. Hu habasar shehischol b'maisa ha'ur. This is meat that you started preparing it on the fire. V'nitzlam at was roasted a little bit. But it's still not yet fit for human consumption. It's not fully roasted. That's considered the Isra of Na. But let's eat it totally raw. And look, it doesn't get lashes. Because it's not considered Na. It's not partially roasted. But a bit of mitzvah says, violated a positive commandment. Because it says in the Torah, it's Saliyesh. It should be roasted by the fire. But if it's not roasted, when it's totally raw, then also it's going to be forbidden. Let's say the other extreme, it's a low cold tzarka. Let's say you roasted it too much, until it got burnt, and then you eat it, potter one's going to be exempt, because again, that's not it just was over-roasted. This is the Torah warns the other category of not cooking it. So that qualified ben shenis bashel b'mayim, whether it was cooked in water, then that's the difference between roasting or cooking. Cooking is with a liquid. But whether it was with water, which it says in the Torah, ben shenis bashel b'shar mashkim b'may peiros, or whether if it was cooked in other beverages or other fruit juices, shenem, it says in the Torah, uvashel mavushel, and it says b'mayim, why say two times? Riba hakol to include all types of liquids. Now, halacha ches, let's say talaho ba'achkech bishl. Let's say it was first roasted the right way, and then it was cooked subsequently. Oh, you're the other way around. Shebishl ba'achkech talaho was first cooked and then roasted. Or let's say it was what's called pot roast. Pot roast is you're only cooking the thing itself, but it's in a pot, so it sits in its own juices. So it's a type of cooking, but not it's from its own intrinsic juices. And you eat it anyway in these three cases, chayiv, you can be liable because, again, it's not purely that of the roasted case. But you could smear it b'yayin, with wine, b'shemen, and oil, d'bash, and honey, b'sham ashken, and other beverages, and may pay some fruit juices. Except for water, which is more stringent. And also the same thing as mutla tabla basa. You saw a lot of dip in the meat, achash and itzla, after it was roasted, but mashkin and beverages, may pay some fruit juices, but not in water. Halacha task continues regarding the laws of, as we said, it has to be prepared by being roasted. So ain't tzelnes a pesach, you can't roast a korban pesach agabi kli evin, on top of a stone vessel, like kli matzis or a metal vessel, because Shnemet says in the Torah, it's li eish. Has to be roasted by the fire, loitzli davacher, not some other conductor of heat, which the stone or the metal is going to be roasting it. No, it has to be roasted by the fire. The figure there from hoy kli menuka, but if let's say the vessel that you're putting it on has holes, so that actually the fire could go directly onto the carbon pesach, then you can roast in there because it's getting roasted by the fire, not by the metal, like the metal vessel that's on. More so too, you can't roast it, even though it's not on a vessel, let's say it's on a spit, which, okay, great, now the fire could go straight on it. No, can't be with a metal spit. The reason that is, I mean, generally that's what you have to do, it has to be on a spit, it has to be held by something, but not with metal. Because what happens is that the spit, since it's metal, which is a conductor of heat, all of it gets hot, but and then it's going to roast its place. In other words, when the edges of the spit are going to get hot, where there's no meat over there, it's going to heat up also the part of the metal spit which is stuck into the meat, and then the meat's going to get roasted from the heat of the spit, not from the fire. And that doesn't qualify if it's liesh. That's going to be tzli from the shapud, from the spit. Halacha yud. Another similar case, let's say hisak esatanu. Let's say he heats up the oven, but then megarf has kalesh, then he shovels out all the fire. There's no more actual fire anymore. But the oven is boiling hot. But talo batanu, now you're hanging in the oven, it's not touching anything. But talo, and you're roasting it, but again, it's really being roasted from the heat of the oven. It's forbidden. It's not being roasted by the fire, it's being roasted from the heat of the oven. Let's say chatacha, let's say you cut it. But talohu agabi gecholim, and you hang it on top of coals. Okay, how is it slayish? That would be considered being roasted by the fire, because the coals are considered as an extension of fire. But let's say tzlo gabi sid, let's say roasted on top of lime or charsis or clay or chamet teveria or on the hot springs of teveria, there's also, again, that's going to be forbidden, even though it's a heat source. Shein zit soli ish, it's not being roasted by a fire, it's a heat source, but not that of fire. Now, ketzet sedem says, so how is the appropriate way of roasting it? So techevay mitech piv, you stick in this bit from its where its mouth is, ad beis nukubasa, going all the way through the animal till its anus through its rear, the hole in the back, b'shabat shel eitz, with a spit out of wood, where there, if the edge of the wood gets hot, it's not a conductor, it doesn't heat up the rest of it, and therefore it's not like the case of metal that we said before. V'tolei l'techa taner, and you suspend it in the oven, v'yish l'mata, with the fire on the bottom. V'tolei krov v'nei meyav, and you hang its intestines and its legs, betaner in the oven, chutzalai, on the outside of the animal. Now, v'lo yidna b'techa, you don't put it or leave it inside of the animal. Because that's like a type of cooking where the animal, from its meat on the outside, is like a pot. And it's going to be cooking inside. And has to be roasting. And they would select, specifically, not just any wood, but a spit of pomegranate wood for its roasting. And the reason for that is so that it shouldn't emit its liquids, its sap, from the wood, which it does have, and then it could be cooking because it's liquid, the pomegranate wouldn't emit any, and therefore that was the choice is to make it a pure tzli'esh, roasting only by the fire. Now let's say naga habasa b'charsa shaltan. Let's say you want to suspend it so it gets just from the fire, but let's say the meat touches the earthenware of the oven, it touched when it was being moved. So yiklof es mekam, you have to peel away the place where it touched the oven, neshut tzli'ah cheres, because that part got roasted by touching a hot earthenware oven that wasn't from the fire, so you have to peil that away. Continuing on this theme, halachid beis notl merodfay al acheres. If let's say it dripped from its juices on earthenware, the chazal oven that comes back into the meat, so yitalis mekaymai. Here, actually, you have to go ahead and take away from the place of where it got reabsorbed into the carbon pesach, and it's not enough to go ahead and take off a thin peel, like we said in the previous halacha, when it just touched the earthenware, because there it's just from the heat of the earthenware. That's enough just to take off from a peel's worth. Rather, you have to go ahead and take off what's the thickness of a finger, because the gravy of the fattiness of the gravy gets reabsorbed very thick into the meat, and therefore you have to actually take what's called netilas amakim. And what's the problem? Why? And actually, there's much discussion if this line should be here or should be in the next halacha. But shekol hamerak v'halecha shetifesh menekesh yitzala, because all the gravy and all the juices, the moisture that detaches from the carbon pesach when it's roasted, is asur, it's forbidden, because it's not the meat of a carbon pesach, it's a different entity. Sharein basat soli, it's not the roasted meat itself. So therefore, that which, and therefore this discussion, is that the problem of the gravy itself, which would seem to be the theme of the next halacha, or from the fact that it hit the earthenware, and that's what's heating it up, and it's like the previous halacha. But be that as it may, this gravy is a forbidden entity. When it comes right back into the meat, it's going to make it forbidden. Halacha Yud Gimel, related, again, depending on what the gersoyas are, not the mirot v'alaseles. So let's say it dripped from the gravy on flour. So that's the concept we said in the previous halacha. Well, that's not the roasted meat itself. Roasted meat is permitted karm pesach, and okay, if it touches silas, what's the problem? Because it's seemingly that we're talking about cold flour. It's not. It wouldn't be the same problem as earthenware if it was like hot flour. So, but the problem would be because the gravy that's detaching is forbidden. It's not like the roasted meat of carbon pesach. So yiklof es mekaymai, you have to then take off the finger breath. You have to take a handful of the flour of the flour v'yashlechen and throw it away again because of the prohibited entity. Because it's not the carbon pesach, it's the gravy, and the gravy has a different halachic status, and therefore it actually is a forbidden entity. And therefore, the problem if it comes back in, over goes into something else. Let's say you anointed, you could smear on the Karm Pesach some oil. So let's say you took oil of Truma. Oil of Truma is only permitted for Kahanim. So im chaburis kahanim, if this group that's eating this Karm Pesach is a group of Kahanim Seichel, let them eat it. But let's say it's non-Kahan that cannot eat Shemen of Truma. So im chaihu, if the Karm Pesach is still raw, so yidchenu, so wash it off, yinagav, and dry it up, and it won't be a problem. But vimtzal, but if it was roasted, so then it gets absorbed, so then yiklof hasachitz, and you have to peel away the outer layer to get rid of whatever was smeared on the top of the karm pesach. Let's say sachar b'shemishol ma'aseh sheni. Let's say it was smeared with oil of ma'aseh sheni, which is permitted for everyone to eat. But lo yasenu dam al b'nei chabura. So one guy, he went and he put on the oil and he wants to take monies back from everyone in the group. He says, look, it was my shiny oil. I put it out there for the oil, but I want to get reimbursed. He can't do that. The reason for that is she'in paid my shiny b'Yerushalayim, because you cannot redeem my shiny only if it's out of Yerushalayim. Once in Yerushalayim, you can't redeem it. Like we explained in this place in Perek Bez, my shiny the divine halacha chas. And here, getting paid back is like a redemption, and therefore that's forbidden. Also, you can't roast two Karm Pesachs at the same time. And they're tarebis because of getting mixed up, where maybe each one are going to take the wrong meats, and it's going to be eaten by not those who are counted on that Karm Pesach. And it's afilik gediv v'tola. And even a kid goat and a lamb, which they usually don't get mixed up, even that, we want to make sure that we don't confuse them. Look at this, Vav continues regarding the timing of the eating Karm Pesach and the saying of the hal. So Kvar Be'an Mekam Mekam has already explained in many places, which it's not clear exactly where these many places are. There's one place that's actually not even regarding the Karban Pesach, but regarding other Karbanos and Perikot, Milchas Ma'aser Karbanos, Halacha Ches, She'ein HaPesach Nechel, that the Karban Pesach is not eaten, El Ad Chatzos, only up until midnight, Kedil Harchi Min Aver, to distance the person from sin, where, because we don't want you to go all the way to the end, which is by the morning, because you might go past the time. So the rabbis went and said, okay, you could only have it up until midnight. Now, within Torah, but biblical law, She'echol Kol HaLayla, you could eat all night, Ad She'al Mar HaShach, until the break of dawn. We already explained the laws of chametz and matzah in Perek Ches Halacha Yud regarding hal, and over there Halacha Yud regarding this halacha of falling asleep. Shutoin hal b'shasach halasai, that one has to say the hal at the time when he's eating the Karban Pesach. And v'sheim b'nei chabur chayzma oichlin, that the people of the group cannot go continue eating the Karban Pesach. Achash shenir debu b'sheinu, after they dozed off and sleeping. Afil b'tchaz lalai, even if it was the beginning part of the night, it wasn't even after midnight, but if they fell asleep, then they wouldn't be able to continue eating after they fell asleep.